welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Good. Well, again, just want to reiterate, happy Father's Day to all you dads. Just pray that you are blessed today and just feel the love and the appreciation of your family. We do. We love and appreciate dads and appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys this morning for all you do as dads. You know, we're growing. We're, endeavoring to follow after God best we can. And, you're just such an important part of your family and what you do, and just realize that and be blessed. Be blessed this morning. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started, and I'm going to make sure my thing's turned on here. We're going to go ahead and get started in a passage in James chapter 1, actually. And James is kind of talking about, kind of going through it a little bit here. He says, James chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking." Oh, isn't that good to know? You can go to Him for wisdom, no shame. It's not, you don't know that by now? You should know this by now. No, He won't do that. Even if it's something you already know and have known 1,000 times, He'll tell you very sweetly for the 1,001th time what you need to know. He's that gracious. He's meek. He's lowly in heart. He's a safe place to come and get wisdom when you're weary and you're heavy laden, all that stuff. But we find something here, and this is such a powerful truth in the Word of God, because I think it's one of those truths that is just so universal. We were just singing about it this morning. All the promises are yes and amen. And, you know, different denominations can divide the word differently about the promises of God and what ones they think are still for today and are not for today. We believe all the promises of God are yes and amen. We believe that God still saves, heals, delivers, does everything He did, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that the work He did 2,000 years ago, He still does through His church today in all the different ways. We believe that. But, you know, whether you believe in that fullness of not or the fullness of the Spirit, most churches can come around and at least agree on this. If you need wisdom, ask of God and He'll give it to you. Very few people believe that at the closed canon of Scripture that God's wisdom toward us was closed too. Most people don't believe that. Most people still believe that God is still interactively engaged in our lives on a wisdom level, that He wants to show us what to do. He wants to give us direction and wisdom. And so we see that promise, if you need wisdom, let Him ask our generous God and He will give it to you. I love this book of James. James is not for the faint of heart. If you go into the book of James, you're going to have to get your faith challenged, okay? Because James, there is so much rich truth in here. And if you can hear and see and understand this book and the heart that James is coming from, you can get some amazing, rich truth for your life. And one of the great things that James brings out is wisdom. And we're going to look at this wisdom that James tells us is promised in God. We're going to look at it. We're going to look at how we ask for it. We're going to see what it looks like. We're going to see the opposing forces to it. And simply what I'm calling the message today is the wisdom cycle. Because we're really going to stay in this book of James. Now, we're going to go outside James for different things and points and things like that. But there will be a central line that follows this promise of wisdom. Because James does not just stop at saying it's promised to us. Throughout the book of James, he keeps referring back to this wisdom and shows us more things about it. And as you begin to look at the book of James, you begin to see this thing unfold and bloom, the wisdom of God. And when you can really see the wisdom of God, it is powerful. And so what's the big deal about wisdom, all right? First of all, the promise of God's wisdom. We start with, the reason I can ask God for wisdom is because I know it's promised in no uncertain terms. Again, very few denominations are going to quarrel over this one right here. Here's a few different translations. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. The Passion, if any of you longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom and he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask the giving God who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproach or fault finding, and it will be given to him. So there we go. Why can I ask for God? I'm in the middle of a trial. I'm in the middle of a test. I know that God wants me to endure this test, but there is something that I need. I need wisdom. I just simply need to know, you could put it this way, the great thing about wisdom is wisdom, when you've got wisdom in the moment, even though you don't see the big picture, that wisdom will let you know what to do next. God gives you wisdom in the trial. He said, I'll be with him in trouble. And that wisdom he gives you so you know what to do next. Wisdom is everything. Here's some other scriptures around the amazing power of wisdom. Proverbs 4:5, it says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. This is talking about wisdom now, personification of wisdom. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. He's talking about the power, the principal thing of wisdom. I'm in a jam. I'm going through it. I've got situations. Wisdom. Wisdom. Proverbs 13 puts it this way. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom. The one who gains understanding, for wisdom is more profitable than silver. Her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. That sounds pretty extreme. But I'll tell you what, it's true. When you're in your jam, you know, and you need this, that, and the other, and you're frustrated and you don't know what to do next, your turmoil, trials, situations, things like that, and you've got the wisdom of God, and you cry out for wisdom. I'm lacking wisdom, Father. You promised it to all, to give it to all. That includes me in my situation. He will give it liberally and without reproach and without scolding. And when you get that wisdom, when he begins to show you, because you're asking wisdom for a situation, I'm in a trial, and I'm asking wisdom for that trial. And what he shows you to do is he shows you what to do next. Again, he'll show you what to do next. You're in it. Here's wisdom. Now, let me put it this way. The wisdom of knowing what to do next is the best thing in the world. It is better than anything you can desire. There's nothing you can desire that can compare to knowing the mind of God of what you to do next. That's the most powerful thing in the earth, is that. If you just know what to do next, God has said, do this, and I do it. And then I know what to do next after that. And then I know what to do next after that. That's better than having the big picture. You might get a little psyched out by the big picture. You might start arguing with God over the big picture. You might start helping God with the big picture. But God says this, I'm going to show you what to do next. You might speculate about what's out ahead. You might do some math. But if you know one thing for sure, if you have the wisdom of God on something, and I'm saying this, do this, there will be an anointing on that. Okay? When you're saying what he tells you to say and doing what he shows you to do, that next thing is everything. All I care about is what's the next thing? What's the next thing you want me to do, Father? I'm not trying to problem solve the storm. I want that next thing you want me to do. That's everything. In the scripture, I love it when it says, you know, you exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. There is an anointing on wisdom. There is a grace on the wisdom of God. And when you embrace that wisdom of God, that anointing and that grace gets on you. And there's power in the word. It is powerful. It is alive. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It has supernatural discernment abilities. And when you begin to just embrace wisdom, and you begin to call on the name of the Lord for wisdom, and begin to embrace that word has a powerful place in your life. And pretty soon, as I'm in my jam, I'm wanting wisdom, Lord, for the next thing. That's everything. If you live your life fully open-hearted toward the next thing God wants you to do, you are going to get to where you need at the end of your life, one step at a time. I tell off a story on our late dog, Sammy, who passed away about a year and a half ago now. And, it's the funniest thing. We would have, I remember we got a chain for him in the backyard. We usually kind of would let him run free, but we got this chain one time, and we had this pole in our backyard. And so I believe I had hooked up the chain to the pole, and, you know, because it could reach to the house, we hooked up Sam on the chain. He went around, you know, on the yard doing his deal, and then he kind of went around the side and got around the pole. It wasn't a complicated thing at all. You know, it's just backyard pole. Sam goes around a half circle around the pole, and he's crying and yiping, and I'm going, what's going on out there? And I look out there, and he's just looking at me, stuck around this pole. It's just a half turn, and I'm going, wow. I'm just, you know, I know his head is small, but if he could just look to the right and just go over, you know, he's a mini dachshund. Yeah, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but, and I'm going, you know, and I'm doing this. I'm going like this, and he's just like, wow, that's deep, man. He's just like looking at me like I don't get that at all. And so, you know, if this is the pole and he's kind of wrapped around it like this, I'm going, oh boy. So I go out by him, and you know, he's right here, kind of looking at the house, all confused. And then I'm standing over here and I say, hey, boy, come here. And Sam just comes and wags his tail. I say, come here, Sammy, you can do it. Come here. And then one more. Just come here, Sammy. All right. And then one more. Come here, Sammy. Okay. And then I run into the house, and he runs right back up with me right into the house. And he's all happy and excited, and, you know, he thinks I'm brilliant. And and a lot of times we get in our James 1 fixes, and we're looking up at God and say, this is impossible. And God's saying, okay, here we go. And what he'll do in getting us out of those jams, he'll just one little thing here, one little thing here. He'll show you the next thing, do the next thing. When Sammy kept doing the next thing I told him to do, he got untangled. And he didn't even have to understand how or why. All he had to do was follow me, step by step, and I got him out of the mess. And that's what Jesus did. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who untangles us from this stuff. He's going to give us wisdom for the next step. That's the great thing about wisdom. I'm not trying to problem solve. I'm not even asking for the big picture. God, you show me what to do next. You show me what to do next. I will do that. I will do that. And that's what, you know, James kind of addresses all these different areas when it comes to wisdom. He talks about, man, the word of God is like a mirror. It shows you your condition. But it's not the hearer of the word that's blessed. He says it's the doer of the word that's blessed. It's when you continue and you do that word, you're blessed in what you do. Faith comes by hearing, but faith is released in doing. That's when you're putting your faith on the line and doing what you've heard. There's a blessing that comes from hearing it, and a joy and a witness of the Spirit, but there's a release of faith that can only happen in the doing, that can only happen in getting out of the boat and putting your weight on what that word says. So there's promises. The promises of just knowing what to do next. That's the great promise of wisdom. We as the men's group did a recent kind of a little, kind of our little overview of the Lord of the Rings over the last couple years. And there was, Tolkien had a lot of spiritual stuff interwoven throughout that. And so we would just kind of go segment by segment by segment and then talk with, you know, what we saw and how that relates to the word and different things like that. One of the things that I noticed in that trilogy was there was this Gandalf character. This Gandalf the Grey, who turns into Gandalf the White, but he's this guy, and the thing, you know, he's kind of the big, you know, the a big key player, and he has this role, you know, as they're, you know, trying to save the world. But the thing that he has that is so powerful, probably the most powerful thing that Gandalf has, more than his powers you know, that he has in terms of his character and what he does, is he always just instinctively seemed to know what to do next. They discovered the ring. He began to research the ring. He had instructions for Frodo to meet him at a certain place. And he was just going and going. In the plot line of the movie, you think, wow, they're stuck. And he would just know what to do next. And when you look back at that movie and the unfolding of it, you just see somebody who had the mind. You know, we would say the mind of the spirit, to know what to do next. Just navigate through that. And I'll tell you what, when you've got that, when you know what to do next, that's going to get you through the battles. That's going to get you through the trials. And the cool thing, even in the movie, even though Gandalf always knew what to do next, and he would tell the king what to do next, the king wouldn't always follow him. He didn't do what Gandalf, but Gandalf, even when the king didn't follow him, he still knew what to do next to help the guy who didn't follow him. He never stopped knowing what, it wasn't just all contingent on everybody knowing what they're supposed to do. I'm in my James 1 trial. You know, no matter who does what to you, you always have another move. You always have a move in God. God isn't stopping. God isn't giving up on you. It's not determined on other people. I am here to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I'm doing that. Lord, show me what to do next. If you got wisdom to do what, know what to do next, you got it made. All you got to do is get from here to here. Once you get here, you'll get from here to here, and you'll get around that thing. So look at the expression in Scripture. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget. Don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't forsake her. So what am I saying in the middle of my storm? God, I need wisdom. There's humility in that. And there is something that God's grace responds to in that heart. I won't scold you. I'm not going to reprove you. I'm going to give you the wisdom that you need. So there's a getting wisdom in that. And so you have a promised wisdom. And so you don't have to wonder, I wonder if that promise is for me. No, I don't ever have to wonder if that promise is for me. He says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. If any of you, the bottom, is deficient. And that's what it says. If anyone longs to be wise. If there's any. This is for anybody. This is for me and you and our situation today. There's a promise for wisdom. That's the starting point. There's a promise that my Heavenly Father has given me for his wisdom. The next thing is asking God for wisdom. I got to know that there's wisdom available and that God has intended for me to have that wisdom so that I can know what to do next. But then there's also the asking side, and here we get a little bit more insight. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Thank you, Lord, I'm in there. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This is important. This is important as it comes to asking God for wisdom. A lot of times I would read that and I would think, wow, that's totally me. Double-minded man, unstable in all my ways. Oh, man. Let's talk shop a little bit about verses 7 and 8 here. 6, 7, and 8. Everybody starts out double-minded. Sorry. Everybody starts out double-minded. You do. Abraham started out double-minded. He tried different things. But what happened to Abraham? He got fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. A lot of times I look at this and say, wow. You know, because when I look at the scripture, you know what I envision? I think of this person. I think of faith man. I've got that F on my chest and that cape on my back for a reason. I'm never double-minded. I'm only single-minded on the word of God all the time, and I never deviate. We're going to have to get clear on some things. This isn't for preaching it on a Sunday morning. We've all got better things to do than hear a sermon on that. This is about your real life. This is about your heart. This is about you being single-minded. There is a single-mindedness that God is going to and will work in you that connects to the wisdom of God that is powerful. There's no pretending. There's no faking. There's no, oh, I need faith, man, to come to my rescue. No, you don't. God is going to do a work in you. He is going to do a work in you as you pray and ask God for wisdom. Think about this. What is the context of this? This is the context of a trial. He's saying in the middle of your trial, when you're most vulnerable, don't be shaky. Be secure. Be strong. Why is he saying that? Because there's two things about faith. You believe that God is, and you believe he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And as you begin to go after God, something changes. Your identity changes. We all start out there. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You start out, you don't have the word in you. You get built up in the word. You get strong. The strong meat belongs to the mature, those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern good and evil. They tell us this in Bible school. You can't put an adult head on a baby. You're going to grow up spiritually. So the first time you read this and go, wow. I think I know people like that. They're just faith, man. They're people who've grown spiritually. They're people who crawled and toddled and walked and ran. Don't let this verse intimidate you. This is where God is bringing you. He is summoning something in you with this verse. He's summoning something in you with this passage. He's changing your identity to the way you see yourself. I mean, we've all half-hearted played games with the promises of God and wondered different things, but this is different. When you really start loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, normal changes. What's normal changes? You get new normals when you start living for God. And this isn't about looking good and keeping up appearance and surviving another day. This is about going on for God. This is about traction in your heart. This is about getting the wisdom of God and believing for it. We had a vacation Bible school recently regarding Jacob and Esau and Jacob's life. And here's a little backstory about Jacob. Now, Jacob, and if you know the story of Jacob and Esau, Jacob tricked Esau out of his birthright. Esau didn't like that. And this is like 20 years later, and they're about to meet. And Jacob is more than a little scared, you know, because he hears that, you know, Jacob has armies coming after him, different things like that. And he's thinking, man, my older brother is going to definitely hold a grudge. My whole family, everything is in jeopardy here. And it's like the night of, and the next day he's going to have to confront this thing. And this is what he does. He has a little talk with God. He said, then Jacob prayed, O God of my grandfather Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, you told me, return to your own land and to your relatives. He's doing what the Lord told him to do. And you promised me, I will treat you kindly. I'm not worthy of the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown to me, your servant. When I left home and crossed the Jordan River, I owned nothing except a walking stick. Now my household fills two large camps. Oh, Lord, please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau. I'm afraid that he's coming to attack me along with my wives and children. But you promised me, I will surely treat you kindly, and I will multiply your descendants until they become as numerous as the sands along the seashore, too many to count. He's on the eve of what could be his destruction. And he's calling God to account on his promises. You know, according to my natural calculations, I'm done here. I can't stand up against Esau. But you promised me. But you promised me. You can see that there's a wrestling that he's experiencing right now on the inside with the promises of God. You know, you're going through your storm, and you need wisdom, and you're not getting it right now. You don't know what to do next. But Lord, you promised me. You promised me. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, that night, as he got all of his family and animals across the river, he's by himself with God. And it says, this left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What is your name? The man asked. He replied, Jacob. Your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. "Please tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. We see before this happens, just a few verses up, the backstory where Jacob is in a death. You could say Jacob was definitely in a James 1 situation. Okay? He was going through a trial. And he was calling God to account of his promises in the middle of that trial. And we see that Jacob is wrestling with this angel that the scripture calls God. Jacob wrestling with God. And as he's wrestling in that verse 26, he says, the angel, God, however you want to say it, let me go, the dawn is breaking. Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. There's a wrestling going on here. But Jacob would not let go. Again, kind of keep the big picture in mind. He's got Esau breathing down his neck. He's holding on to the promises of God, and he will not let go until he's blessed. This is powerful. This is why, you know, James says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. He's saying when you ask for wisdom, ask with that resolve. I won't be tossed. Why am I being told that? Because this storm inherently that I'm in James 1 is already causing wind and waves. And you're asking for the wisdom in the middle of your trial. You better have the resolve that you're going to hold on to it till you get it. Don't be shamed and condemned. That's not me. I'm not that person. You see Jacob, he had a promise from God that was followed up by a wrestling match. And he held on and he held on, and I will not let go until you bless me. That's the resolve that James is summoning. You ask in faith, and you don't let go until you get that wisdom that you want. You're not intimidated by your storm. That promise is from God, and it's for you, and I'm holding on to it. I'm holding on to it, and that wisdom is going to come. And you'll see something that happened here. First of all, let me tell you this. If God ever calls you to a wrestling match with him, he really wants you to win. Because as you wrestle with him, you are going to find out something about you. And he wants you to know that. What is your name? The man asked. He replied, Jacob. He said, your name will no longer be Jacob. The man told him, from now on, you will be called Israel. You fought with God and men have won. You've prevailed. Please tell me your name. Why do you want to know my name? Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob still didn't let go. He was holding on to him. He was holding on to that promise. He reminded God of his promise. He fought. He's holding on. He's holding on. And that's something that happens to you. Because, like I said, we've all experienced double-mindedness. You don't start out faith man. You start out learning how to believe God. You start out learning how to, in the middle of that, still believe God. Yes, in the middle of that, still believe God. You learn to walk in faith. And as you're learning to walk in faith and you have that resolve, I'm not letting go, God. I'm holding on to your promise. Something changes in you because you held on in the middle of that, and you know what happens? The wisdom comes. And when that wisdom comes, it's like, oh, praise God. I'm glad I didn't let go. Galatians says, you will reap in due season if you faint not. There is a tenacity. I'm believing he is, and I'm believing he's a rewarder of those who are diligently seeking him. I'm holding on for wisdom. Something happens to your identity. I'm no longer Ed the double-minded guy. I'm Ed the believer in God guy. And it's not pride. It's not ego. He's faithful. He's faithful to his word. This isn't just good-sounding, poetic, religious theology. Oh, isn't that sweet? And he'll hold. No, it isn't sweet. It's real. It's true. We live in a real world with the flesh, the world, and the devil. We're going through real stuff, and there has to be that resolve. Why? Now we're talking wisdom, big picture wisdom, because you got this going on. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have, look at this, bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, you could say worldly, sensual, fleshly, demonic, satanic. For where flesh, world, and the devil, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. James is telling us, you asked for wisdom, it belongs to you, but you're going to go through some stuff. There's going to be some wind and waves of demonic wisdom that'll try to discourage you. And the cool thing about what James does is he shows us what that looks like. In other words, he's saying, that is not from above. So look at verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. You know, you can ask for God for wisdom in a situation, and you can get wisdom. The enemy wants to answer your prayer request too. He's got all kind of answers and all kind of demonic wisdom. He's got all kinds of dots for you to connect. And it's going to produce something. Confusion and every evil thing are there. So as you're asking, as you're contending for wisdom, you're checking what you're getting. Say, no, that's not God. Nope, that's demonic. That's sensual. That's earthly. I'm contending. I'm holding on. I'm holding on and I'm holding out for God's wisdom in this matter. This is why James is so emphatic about this resolve. It's not to intimidate you. It's not to condemn you. It's not to say, shame on you. You should have more faith in that. It's not that at all. He's describing what you're up against. You're in a world where there is demonic wisdom that's competing for your attention, for your affections, for your reasoning, for your thoughts, for your expression in the earth. God's wisdom is there, though. But you got to have an attitude like Jacob had. I'm holding on to it. I'm going for it. And I'm believing for it. And I'm telling you what, when this begins to happen, there's a lot of things that begin to happen in your heart. You begin to take those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Just because you know that's not his wisdom. And you begin to go for it, and things begin to happen in your heart where, praise God, you are going to hold on until you get the blessing. Because when you get the blessing, that's the best. That's everything. There is a, not just a holding out for it, but there's a receiving of God's wisdom. So James then goes on. He tells us what the wisdom doesn't sound like. You know, bitter envy, self-seeking, all that stuff. That's false wisdom. That's counterfeit wisdom. It's interesting what he says. I just got to bring note to this. He says, this wisdom doesn't come from above. Don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. There's a temptation to think you're getting a revelation from God. Oh, that's it. Wrath, anger, rage. It's demonic wisdom. But it's so compelling, and it makes so much sense. Demonic wisdom. You got to have a resolve. I'm not going to bite on that. I'm not going for that. Because as you go through that demonic wisdom junk, there is pure gold on the other side. There is that thing you've been praying for, that thing that's been promised you. And in the receiving of God's wisdom, James goes on to describe what that looks like. He says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Oh, there's nothing like that. There is nothing like you're staying in there, I'm staying in there. You know what I say, what do I mean by two when I'm staying, I'm holding on to wisdom? That can mean different things. We've talked before at Door of Life. It's good for us to have kind of what we'll call a God narrative. Have a few scriptures that are your scriptures. They are so close to your heart, it's like God written them just for you. I mean, I've got some of those. We've kind of talked about some of those. Psalm 1 is definitely part of my God narrative. Psalm 23 is part of my God narrative. And it's like, man, they're yours. You're willing to share them with everybody else, but they're really yours. It's like that close. And you hold on to those as you're holding on to wisdom and keeping your heart and you're keeping your mind in the right place. But as you do that, the wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable. You're going back to godly wisdom. And in the atmosphere of godly wisdom, you get his wisdom. This is what it sounds like. It's pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Think about that. Demonic wisdom is the exact opposite of all those things. It's not pure. It's contaminated. It's not peaceable. It's not gentle. It's not full of mercy. And it's full of partiality. And it's full of hypocrisy. It remembers things in a contaminated way. What are we talking about? The wisdom cycle. There's a promised wisdom for you, no matter what you're going through. There's an asking for it. You ask for it with a resolve. You ask for it with the resolve that I'm holding on to you, Father God. I'm diligently seeking you till I get it. I'm not going to faint. And there's a receiving. And when you get that wisdom and it registers, it is so beautiful. It's just like the Good Shepherd Scripture says it would be. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek, lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your soul. It's a peace. It's a peaceable, sweet wisdom that you get when you get from him. I remember kind of going through something, and I remember saying in my, just in prayer, because I was going through a James 1 trial, and I'm saying, Lord, I've prayed about this. I've prayed about this. I'm seeking you in this. And I said, but right now I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do next. I don't know what to do next. I'm stuck. And God just very clearly, I mean, I was just walking along. And God just clearly by his Spirit said, Ed, you are not stuck. He said, you can forgive your way out of this. I thought about that for about 10 seconds and said, Lord, I'm stuck. There's no way out of this. When you get that wisdom and you hold on and you get it, you know that you didn't think it up. It didn't come from you. It came from him. It's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's full of mercy and good fruits. It's sweet, it's wonderful, it's the next thing to do, and it's anointed and it's graced. But there's a resolve. There's a holding on as you're getting that wisdom, as you're getting that wisdom. And as you're getting it too, there's a few things to just keep in mind. Jesus promised us. He said, I have many things to say to you. You can't bear them now. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak and he'll tell you things to come. As you're asking for wisdom, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. One of his big jobs is to just bear witness to truth. When you get that God answer to wisdom, it's not just going to sound right, it's going to witness on your heart. John put it this way. He said, I'm writing these things to you to warn you about those who want to lead you astray, but you've received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you do not need that anyone teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches you is true and it is not a lie, just as he has taught you, and remain in fellowship with him. You have something supernatural to navigate the James 1 storms. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to lead you and to guide you into all truth. I can't manufacture wisdom. I can't create it. I can't make it up. I can ask for it from God, and I can hold on to it. I can hold on to the promise of wisdom. Hold on to that promise wisdom until I receive that answer. And when it comes, that's what it's going to sound. James said, the way it's going to sound when you get it, it's going to sound like this: pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Be sweet. And the cool thing about it is, when I told the Lord, he said, you can forgive your way out of this. You're not stuck. And I said, I don't know. He just repeated. He said, Ed, you can forgive your way out of this. You're not stuck. You're not stuck. Now, here's something cool. Now, there's no new theology here, right? Most of us know this. And a lot of times when he's going to show you things, it's going to line up with the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, teaches us what to do, what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people for every good work. Many times when the wisdom of God comes, it's not going to always be something new and strange you've never heard before. It's the missing link. It's the right word in the right place at the right time. And let me say this, more often than not, it's something you have heard before. But it fits. And you're hearing it from him. And you're hearing it by his Spirit. And you're hearing it in answer to your prayer. And it's the next thing to do. And you can't substitute anything else for the next thing to do. I've tried. You can praise. You can try to give. You can try to, do that thing. That's where the blessing is. That's where the anointing is. That's where the grace is. And that's where he said, Ed, you can forgive your way out of this. And I remember that. I remember that, and then kind of forgetting it and having him remind me. And then I was driving in the car, and then he reminded me again. Said, okay, thank you. The Lord is so merciful and gracious. It's not like he gives you lots of chances, and he'll keep bringing it back to your remembrance and say, remember this? This is the thing. There will be a blessing. There will be an anointing if you do this. And, I know the Scripture. We know the Scripture. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And I, when I thought of that, I think I'm just, kind of think naturally, got to do this, And as I was kind of wrestling with that a little bit, I just got this picture in my mind. And the Lord just showing me, what if you just got bit by a very dangerous, poisonous snake, and you had 8 minutes to live. But the good news is, you got the antidote right there. But the bad news is, That antidote tastes really yucky. How long are you going to contemplate whether you're going to take that antidote? You got two choices. You can die writhing in pain, or you can take the yucky antidote with a really bad aftertaste and totally neutralize and destroy the poison in your system and live. You got a choice. That's how he related it to me. And I remember this all kind of unfolds, and I'm driving the car, I'm remembering that, and all of a sudden I got that scripture in my mind because I thought, the next thing he tells you to do, it might not taste good in your mouth, but it will set you free. And as I was praying about that, because I've done this, I've done that with a victim, okay, God, I forgive them, but wow, it's amazing what they've done to me, and but I'll forgive them, and just kind of this poor me kind of attitude, but I'm going to forgive. And God just stirred something up in me, and it was like, no, I'm not taking the antidote, I'm not swishing the antidote around in my mouth in self-pity. I'm gulping this thing. And I gulped it, and I said, Father, I forgive so-and-so just as you have forgiven me. I forgive them. I love them. I love them. I love them. And I pronounce a blessing on them. I pronounce a blessing on them, that it will overtake them, that they'll have the wisdom, and that they're free from the things that are attacking them. In the name of Jesus, I see peace. I see grace. And I forgive, Father God, even as you have forgiven me. I love them. I love them. I love them. And proclaim it and declare it. Praise God. I'll tell you, the law, the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus goes to motion in that. And you realize, praise God, thank you, Lord. And there's power in that. I'm not feeling sorry for myself for having to obey. I'm declaring it by faith. He showed me that's my next thing to do. Whatever my hand finds to do, I'm going to do it with all my heart as unto the Lord. That's my next thing. I'm going to do it with all my heart as unto the Lord. Whatever he shows you to do next, you do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. There will be a blessing on it. What are we talking about? Man, we're talking about navigating. We're talking about navigating life on a cursed planet with fallen flesh and demonic spirits around us and walking out the perfect will of God. And as we do, we're going to have to realize some things. That wisdom has been promised to us. Whatever your James situation is, I can tell you one thing about it. You have promised wisdom for that. God has instructions for you what to do next in your situation. And it is a wisdom that is from him. And you can know that it is for you. What do we do? I'm going to ask in faith, nothing wavering. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself in that verse. No, I'm a double. No, I'm going after you, Father God. I'm not double-minded. I'm believing you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. And if I trip and fall and get double-minded, I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to grow up spiritually, and I'm going to hold on to your promise, because you promised it to me. You promised it to me, and I won't let go until you bless me. I won't let go until I get that wisdom that's from above, that's pure and peaceable and gentle. What is this? Man, this is living for God. Man, this is getting control back of your life spiritually, where the ball is in God's court and I'm trusting God. And I'm not having for people or things to line up. I'm trusting him, and I got the wisdom that I need. He's showing me what I need to do next. And there is an anointing on that. Why is this important? It's important because God's wisdom is real, and it's really there. Is this a challenging message? You better believe it is. Is this going to cause you to get into the Word of God more? Yeah. Is this something that's going to cause you to meditate in the Word of God and begin to cast down imaginations and challenge yourself about what you're thinking about? Yes, it is. But this is the message that's going to give you traction and cause you to go somewhere, and it's going to get you to know the faithfulness of your Lord to His Word. It's going to cause the life and the power that's in the Word to get in you. That's my heart. I'll tell you what, I'm right with you guys. I'm walking this out, and I'm learning, and I'm growing, and I'm walking in the faithfulness of my God. We know the theology. We can quote it. We can sing about it. But I'll tell you what, when you begin to say, nah, this is it, Lord, I'm holding on. Yeah, I'm going through a storm right now, but I'm going through it in faith because you have the answer for me. You know what to do next, and I'm looking to you. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. I just pray, Lord, this message this morning. I pray, Lord, it is an upward call. I know that there is a growing here and that you're calling us higher. You're calling us to a place in you. You're calling us, Lord, to a place where we're looking to you, Lord. We're looking to you. We're trusting you. We're allowing your word, your promise, to get on the inside of us, Lord. That promise belongs to us. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for wisdom. I embrace her. It is the principal thing. With your wisdom, I always know what to do next. You promised me that wisdom. It is absolutely for me. So I ask in faith, no doubting. This circumstance has wind and waves. In the face of it, I believe, I receive your wisdom. Help me to navigate the demonic wisdom. Where I used to believe it, I don't anymore. I'm listening. I recognize your wisdom. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. There is no hypocrisy. It's full of mercy. My ears are open to your voice, to that wisdom. And when you tell me what to do next, I will do it by faith. And in the doing of it, I'm blessed. The doer is blessed. I'm not double-minded. My name is changed. I've wrestled. I'm holding on to the promise. Your promise is yes. It is amen. And I will never let go until I receive that blessing. I believe you are. You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you can get a hold of this and continue to walk in this, you're going to be just amazed at how real God gets in your life. The answer of the promises of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you into all truth. You're not going to feel like a helpless little person needing faith man to come to your rescue. You rise up in faith. You, the faithfulness of your God, that wisdom's promised to you, not just faith man. You have that promise. You can ask in faith. You can hear from God, and God gives you good things. And he's going to lead and guide you into all truth by his wisdom, because you are his child, you are his sheep, you do hear his voice, and he loves you. Amen? Praise God.